Support comes from Troy University, welcoming prospective students to explore more than 170 majors and minors and more than 40 graduate and professional degree programs. Now accepting applications for the fall semester. More information at troy.edu/admissions.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is 70 years old, and it's working to strengthen relationships with its allies, especially the United States. Today, we continue our conversation in part two of our series with Camille Grand, NATO's Assistant Secretary General for Defense Investment. Last May, the Alabama World Affairs Council at Troy University sponsored a virtual event that centered on NATO's goals in outer space. We joined Camille Grand by Zoom.
Camille Grand, thank you so much for joining us here at Troy Public Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Caroline.
NATO 2030 is all about strengthening the alliance to address new security threats. What do you perceive as those threats being?
Well, we have recognized that NATO 2030 has been launched by the Secretary General as an opportunity to bring a stronger alliance and to look at priorities and the new issues in the next 10 years. What we have to recognize is that we have, on the one end, major powers, strategic competitors like Russia, like China, that are increasingly challenging the rule-based international order that underpins our freedom and security. And from that perspective, the fact that the alliance is really working together to address these sorts of challenges is really of great importance. That involves also working more closely with our partners. Our partners in Asia Pacific, our partners like the European Union and European countries that are not members of NATO, such as Sweden or Finland. So that is really one very important angle. Then we are also looking at the security implications of climate change. We are looking at ways to invest more and better into or in support of our deterrence and defense. Finally, and this is again connected to some of our conversation about space, how do we focus our efforts on innovation and resilience in order to remain at the top of the technological edge, which has always been an asset for the NATO alliance?
You mentioned climate change. We are witnessing the apparent melting of ice in the Arctic. China has an interest there, and Russia apparently is claiming the Arctic as its own because of its continental shelf. What is the view of NATO with all of this?
Climate change has the potential to massively transform our security environment because it's opening new sea routes, because it is fueling some conflicts. So therefore, the first step is to understand that. The second one is to see where we as NATO can foster the best of green technologies so that we reduce our environmental footprint. The critical issue, as you were pointing, is the fact that the climate change in a way accelerates all of the security transformations that we're facing. So we were seeing more competition in the Arctic, in the high north, but the fact that the melting of part of the Arctic makes that much more possible. And we see more, not only Russian, but also Chinese ships sailing through the so-called northern route and making things much more complicated in spaces that were previously not contested part of global competition, or at least not as much.
You were talking about strengthening the alliance and NATO having the domain of space as a priority. That brings us back to the economics of the whole situation. And doing a little reading about NATO and remembering the Trump administration's emphasis on nations paying their fair share, it looked to me like maybe a third of the NATO members were paying their 2% of GDP, whereas that leaves about two-thirds not paying. So in order to bankroll this or afford all of this, what are the plans?
First of all, we had a defense investment pledge adopted in 2014. And I think the any U.S. administration would expect from us a fair burden sharing. Some European allies have been a bit free riding, but the good news is that since we took that pledge in 2014 at the Wales Summit, we've really turned a corner. We have more and more allies, indeed about a third as we speak, that are reaching the 2% target, but all allies spending more. Close to $190 billion more spent by the European allies and Canada since they took that pledge. You know, money matters for delivering capabilities and military capabilities. So if you did build over the last 7 years an additional, on top of what we already had, $190 billion for that, and that we hope that by 2024, when we meet that pledge, that will be an additional $400 billion. And I can tell you from my own experience of working with the nations on their defense capabilities, I can see that fresh money making a difference. We now have two-thirds of allies that are spending more than 20% of their defense budget on investment in capabilities, in research and development. That is making a difference as well. So at the end of the day, I do think that we've turned a corner over the last few years, and we see more and more capabilities coming. The second good news is that COVID-19 didn't stop that trend. In 2020, we continue to see increase in defense spending all over Europe and in Canada, contributing to this as well. So the challenge will be, and I'm sure we will have a very interesting conversation in the upcoming summit on this, what do we want to make with this effort? What do we want to do together with this effort? Where do we want to take NATO from there? And of course, on the need to continue this effort. You know, I'm the Assistant Secretary General for Defense Investment. So if the question is, could we do more and could we use more money to pursue our projects? My short answer would be yes. But I would certainly say that we've moved quite a lot in the recent years.
The Biden presidential administration seems to target the rehabilitation of the transatlantic partnership. This seems to be very important. So how do we go forward? How does NATO plan to educate the next generation about its strategic importance in world affairs?
And that's one of the reasons why the Secretary General has decided to focus a lot of the next summit on this NATO 2030 initiative, to look into the future at the next generation of threats. And I think at the bottom line is, I would say whomever is in charge in Washington and whomever is the president, what we need is to make sure that this transatlantic alliance that I personally very strongly believe in is viewed and understood by all allies and by their population as relevant. And for that, of course, we need fair burden sharing, but we also need to recognize that we are stronger together, that we all need allies, even the US, if I may put it this way, even the strongest of our allies benefits from having allies fighting shoulder to shoulder in the Middle East or elsewhere, and to be able to work together. So in a strategic environment, which is probably more unstable than any time since the end of the Cold War, with strategic competition being a key feature of that, I think the relevance of NATO is even more important than possibly a few years back. When I look at how the future is looking, and to a degree it looks pretty scary, I think it's very cold out there, and it's good to have friends, to put it simply, and using the SecGen words in front of the U.S. Congress celebrating the 70th anniversary of this alliance.
Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Joining us in our Zoom visit from NATO headquarters was Camille Grand, NATO's Assistant Secretary General for Defense Investment. His virtual presentation was sponsored by the Alabama World Affairs Council at Troy University. On July 28th, we'll conclude our three-part series with NATO's Camille Grand for World Affairs Wednesday. Thanks for joining us today for the program. In Focus is now a podcast, which can be found on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.